Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage and Justin Tyler!
Yeah!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen! Woo. Welcome to Comic Book Club, I'm Justin Tyler.
I am Pete LePage.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman! With some electrifying entrance music for us.
Yeah, dude.
Straight out of Oregon Trail, is that what
this is? Django Unchained? Tail Rider? Oh, change.
Oh, nice. Thank you guys for coming out tonight. We wanted to say we're just about to hit 300,000 downloads.
Downloads.
On the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for the applause. I don't know if you guys have computers who show up here, but you can also try that.
What are you trying to say? Don't show up to our live show? That's the opposite of what we should
show up and also have a computer.
Okay.
Just for your regular life. But we're wondering, we want to do a special prize for when we hit 300,000 downloads.
Yeah.
And we wanted to pitch it to you guys.
See what you like. So please hit us up on this thing called Twitter.
Yep.
Or send us a Facebook thing or whatever is easier for you.
Do you have an idea? Any ideas for?
I was thinking win a date with Justin.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's
Justin, are you you told me you were seeing someone.
I am, yeah. Maybe she'll win.
She could get mad at you if you just went on a one date.
No, that's not how relationships work.
I mean, it's like...
Oh, babe, I just hooked up with one person.
It was just one.
Yeah, it's fine. It was for the show.
It's for the show.
The show you love, but don't ever come to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's an actress. She understands.
Yeah. She's an actress.
Yeah, definitely. Actresses are very stable people. Let's move on and start the show.
We should. So please let us know what you want for your prize. But, yeah.
Laser, and please welcome to the stage from Geeks Out... Josh Siegel and John O'Jarrett.
Yeah!
Come on
welcome,
up. Here,
welcome.
Have a seat over
please,
here, guys.
Have a seat. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah. Coming through. Move it or lose it, sister. All right.
Awesome.
Hello.
Thanks for coming out, guys. These don't sound like they're working, but they are. Yeah. So tell us about Geeks Out. What is it? And what does it do?
Geeks Out is a... primarily social group that is based in New York City, but now we have a couple of chapters around the states that is about rallying and kind of empowering and creating queer geek communities that weren't there before.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're sort of harnessing the energy of the LGBT fan group that's already present in the geek community and just trying to make sure that everybody identifies that, hey, we're all here, we can have a great time, and you don't necessarily have to sublimate either your geek self when you're out with your queer friends, or you don't have to not be
as gay as you feel when you're with your geek friends.
Yeah.
It was sort of born out of attending the New York Comic Con in 2010 and feeling that there really wasn't any sort of queer presence there or an organized engagement of the very present but kind of unfocused queer fan community. It kind of didn't know where it was okay to be gay there at Javits here in New York City, which is a really odd thing to think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the West Side Highway. You can be gay all up and down it. But the idea then that we would sort of come together as a group to try to rally our friends, started with our friends and our local sort of community, people who we knew who all would get together and watch Battlestar Galactica, who all started reading Game of Thrones together, who, you know, would talk about comic books and rockets and shit like that. And so, so we knew that the community was there, and it was almost just sort of harnessing it, you know, getting everyone to recognize that the energy was all around, and all we had to do was sort of like direct it, I guess.
Yeah. Have a party every month.
Yeah, have a party every month.
It's an easy to rally any culture.
Right, with the goal to then have an official presence at the next New York Comic Con.
Right. Which you guys definitely
did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congrats.
What is it about like geek stuff or comics specifically and gay culture? Why that crossover specifically for you guys? Was it born out of your interest, or is there this like, is that a very specific thing?
Well, I think we're both sort of walking, talking crossovers of
the
geek and queer world. Yeah, I mean, I've been reading comic books for longer than I've been looking at dirty pictures of other dudes. So, I mean, I figure it has dibs.
Right.
In a certain way out of my soul.
Dibs.
Life dibs.
But also just the idea that you... It's funny when people now say that they are big fans of Doctor Who or that they loved Battlestar or that they read comic books. It's almost a second coming out process that they have to reveal to all their friends or that nobody at work knew that they also read Game of Thrones and suddenly that they feel they can be free. And it's like, yeah, welcome to our fucking world.
I mean, that's something coming out we can speak to directly.
Yeah, you know? it's definitely...
Aren't you courageous?
Yeah, I know. Brave.
No, not really.
Well, it's funny. When we first started the show, it was very much a thing of like, oh, do you read? You read comics? Like, it was a, and that was back before the comic book movie thing was a thing, really. Right. And when we first figured out that we all love comics who host the show, it was very much a sort of a sly thing like that.
Yeah. And then you sleep with them.
Yeah, and then we've all since had a huge amount of
it. It was stuff. Almost like, someone would stop me in the street and be like, because I had my Midtown Comics bag or whatever, and people would be like, do you read comics? And you had to be like,
it could be a trap. Cool? That feels like a trap.
It feels like a trap. Yeah, exactly. It's a trap.
And how did you guys meet to form this organization?
We've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, we're old friends.
Then we kind of just knew people.
He got me back into comics. Yeah, I had given up in college, and we met at a party. Josh and his now husband and me and an ex-boyfriend, we met at a party, and he started talking about comics and dragged me back
in. Yeah, we just suddenly started talking about the X-Men, and you were like, well, so what have the X-Men been doing for the last 5 to 8 years?
I dropped out in the 90s like 10 million other people.
Right. So 6 hours later, we were friends, and you were back into comics.
And here we are today in the basement of this bar.
And what sort of comics are you reading these days, if you dropped out in the 90s, and you never did?
No, I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, nice.
Still reading the X-Men a lot.
Yeah.
I've been really enjoying Prophet, which I saw on the table over there.
Yeah.
Really digging Prophet.
Super weird sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah. Just fun and it feels familiar but really different too.
Yeah.
I like the big cheesy superheroes. I'm an Avengers and the X universe. I'm really, really digging the FF, Mike Allred's new book. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of Marvel now seems like a fun sort of jolt to the universe, not a whole mind-bending reboot of the thing. So it seems like a fun time to get into comics again and to pick up new books, whereas before it was lots of confusing cross-book crossovers and stuff. And it seems like they're really fun again. Marvel seems like they're having a lot of fun with their books.
Yeah.
And so that's what I enjoy. Some people might consider my taste a little unsophisticated because I just like brightly colored superheroes.
We don't even know the full meaning of sophisticated.
Give me pirate boots every time.
throw a buckle on it. Give him a pouch, for God's
seriously.
Sake.
Seriously.
Put a sash on that.
It's funny that you say that because I was just talking to a friend outside of this about switching up all the writers and what projects they've been working on. Really does seem to make it fresher and seem like they are having more fun and... It really comes across in the stuff that I'm reading.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was like, what? Why would you take away? You know, but now I'm like, oh.
That's that, effective, refreshing marketing reboot that Marvel seems to do every 5 years or so.
I feel like the classic.
Doing it all at once. And, it works. It feels great.
Yeah, it was more deliberate, and I think it very successful. And before we move on, tell us about some events. You guys have a lot of fun events happening.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we're having a trivia night. On
the 19th.
The 19th.
Badass Bitches at Rock Bar, hosted by Jason Romas. If listeners are aware, and our audience member might be aware, Jason Romas hosts a really fun trivia night at this awesomely sketchy bar at the far dark end of Christopher Street. And it's really intense geekery and hardcore fan questions.
And it's all specifically comic book related?
The theme changes.
This time it will be... Badass bitches.
Strong female characters.
It's cool.
Yeah, from comics, from sci-fi, from movies and television. I'm sure lots of Buffy, lots of...
Wonder Woman,
lots of Ripley, stuff like that.
Yeah, and that sort of ties
real sexual
into...
sexual undertone to the way you say
it. No, she's one of my favorites.
Wonder Woman.
Please let her be Wonder Woman.
Yeah, we're learning a lot here.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we really explore in the show.
And that ties into our next event, which is Dreamweaver, which is kind of one of our bigger events of the year.
Yeah.
It is an art show where we have a whole bunch of really awesome artists paying tribute to Sigourney Weaver.
That's so cool.
It's going to be really fun. And that's going to be April 4th on a Thursday night in Chelsea. And
go to dreamweavernyc.com to find all the details of attending or submitting. If anybody who's hearing this is an amazing artist, photographer, digital illustrator, and works fast,
Fast.
The show's on April 4th, so
get it done.
We like to. It's open to everybody, so we take a look at what you send, and if it's not like too creepy, then you know.
Do you have any like shitty drawings from Ghostbusters yet? Because I could do one of those real quick. You know
how shitty.
Yeah, well, super.
We don't have any.
Well, it's great if it's super, super shitty. It's so great.
I can come around on the
circles
other
all the way back through to art.
Awesome. And it's geeksout.org for those listening. And well, let's move on to a little section we like to call The Stack.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some comic books that came out this week. And first, we'll talk about a very hot book made
hot book.
Actual press. New York Post spoiled this. Batman Incorporated number 8, which featuring the death of Robin.
The death, in quotes. I mean, it was off. It was off panel.
It was he died there.
He was looking real dead.
He looked dead, but you don't see it actually happen.
What, you want to see like his heart fail?
I really want to.
We're learning a lot.
Does he need to have a word bubble that says "I die"?
I'm dying. comma, I'm dead.
You have killed me, sir.
Yeah. Certainty.
Yeah, I am certainly dead.
This giant sword through my chest
goes through his body. Yeah, and then the next panel, he's doing the dead pose.
Right.
This is so you don't comic book that we're talking about.
I mean, my point.
It wouldn't be the worst wound that someone has, you know, recuperated from.
It's pretty clear that he could be brought back to life because it's comic books.
Yeah,
true.
There's that Lazarus pit,
but,
right?
Yeah,
isn't that
really
family trick? Yeah,
the old Lazarus
all ghoul pool.
He takes a lot of punishment first, too. Really rough.
And he's very tiny.
Yeah, man.
That's a big guy beating the shit out of a little kid.
Yeah. It's really rough. What did he... The big guy said he was his clone? What was the deal with that?
He was, well... Damien
is my rival.
So he was created in sort of a test tube, a test tube baby, which was popular in the 90s. Maybe that's what you were doing when you were reading comics, making a series of babies.
It was. Hit the nail on the head, sir.
Well, I know I do a little research. But anyway, so he was sort of almost, not cloned really, but it was Batman's DNA mixed with his mom, Talia, who is the daughter of Ra's al Ghul. And then she was like, considers him an imperfect child because he betrayed her and went to Batman. Mm. And so she made this giant, masked, mean dude who was like, I'll never betray you. I'm a monster.
Does he have a face? Is his head that bucket? Or is he just wearing a helmet?
I think he's just wearing a helmet.
Okay.
Unless maybe the face DNA didn't make
it. Had we met him before? Have we seen him a lot?
He's been in this book for the whole run of it.
I'm a Marvel guy.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Pete, how did you like this book?
Well, I really
liked your misgivings on his potential maybe.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, I mean, just because he was
keep in mind, the cover said Robin R.I.P.
Right.
So, I don't know. It could mean anything.
I mean, hey,
really in peril.
Yeah, exactly.
Robin's in peril. Look
that
out, Robin.
Mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, things death in the family, you know, no one really died, so I don't, you know what I mean? So let's not go by titles.
It was called Death of the Family, and that was maybe a nod to the potential split in the Batman family.
Oh, yeah, because no one's returning in Batman's calls.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Imagine Batman calls, you're like, I'm busy.
Yeah, I mean, what?
Send it a voicemail.
Weird. Yeah, I wouldn't. I've ever told Batman I'm busy. Yeah. Anyways, no, I really like
Robin, it's me, Batman. Please
I mean,
pick up.
If you are going to kill a character, like, I really feel like a really amazing fight sequence has got to take place. Yeah. This was a very gruesome, amazing fight sequence. I really thought it was awesome.
There was a really nice nod to other moments in Batman history where, like the back being broken, like that.
Classic.
That really got me.
Yep.
And earlier on in the issue, there was a really nice nod, to Dick Grayson having brought Damian into the fold, and they had a really great moment.
Yeah, that little moment.
I love
there.
That. That was so good. And that's what frustrates me about this death is like Damian was like the most interesting Robin. He was such a good character in the other books and the Batman and Robin annual that came out this year. It was an amazing story of Damian like sending Batman on this sort of scavenger hunt that was really heartfelt about tracking down these memories of his family and all this stuff. And then now he's just killed because he's like the most popular Robin right now. Like,
do you think that's really why they killed him?
Yeah, you want to take out the popular.
They've got a tradition killing the good Robins, right? Death in the Family. They're really historic.
Well, but he's back too. Like Red Robin was.
Oh yeah, but I mean, like it's a Batman tradition.
So, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I.
the tradition of killing.
It's like crazy redheads in Marvel. You know, one of the Robins always dies.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, I mean, when Grant, do we credit Grant Morrison with really bringing Damian in? Because was he around before that?
It was definitely his. I mean, he brought him to power. Okay. I think he created him,
I mean,
too.
Do you think he had that in mind? Like, arc of, like, he's going to die in Batman's arms?
They build this book. I mean, with, any character you invent, I wonder when you're pitching a company, like, I'd like to invent a new Robin. They're like, well, when does he die? Yeah. Because that's sort of what we're aiming for.
Is it going to be in Batman's arms, or is it not going to be in Batman's arms?
Like, when I have a baby, I'm going to look at his face and say, 42 years.
Wow, man.
Oh.
This just got dark.
Yeah, no. Well, how long did he live? Like, 3? Not that long.
Dude, he left.
42 is not very old for your baby.
We live hard in my family.
I guess. Yeah. How old are you? 12?
I'm 12 years old.
Man, you look awful. You have been living hard.
I know. Well, it's hard to, you know, I have a fake ID to get all the drinks.
This podcast is rough.
Yeah, podcasting is a rough biz. It takes
this
years
got,
out of you.
This got darker than I expected.
Well, no. Well, we're not even
this is death
book.
Is R.I.P. Yeah,
we're more, dealing with big themes here.
There's more teen death to come.
Yeah, exactly. So buckle the fuck up. Gird your loins. We're going to deal with some shit.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our next book, Punisher Warzone number 5 of 5, ending the series, the miniseries,
Nobody thought that was
series.
Good. Yeah, one person,
Pete, Punisher is practically an uncle or brother to you at this point.
Yep.
I have a look, guys.
I look to him for guidance, and yeah. I model my life after him. You sure? This was... at first, I wasn't happy about the idea of the anime Punisher Greg Rucka team up thing here, but he proved me really wrong. The younger Punisher, I'd say it looks a little anime. Whatever. Greg Rucka did an amazing job on this fun 5-issue run. I was really pleased with every single issue, and I'm sad that it's ending. I didn't think that was going to be the case, but.
Art is really pretty.
Yeah, the art's gorgeous. I have no idea what's going on in it, but it looks great.
Well, for those of you not reading,
a lot of characters.
I mean, Punisher is trying to shoot people. What do you need? Like what?
Yeah, he's got a cool name. The Punisher is sort of take on the Avengers. This finishes up sort of a long-standing storyline of the Punisher had like an intern, sort of.
Sure.
What?
Sure.
No. Remember right here, my resume.
No. Is it Wagner, right, Patrick?
She's getting, intern in the crowd tonight?
From Wagner, NYU. It's a program name.
Oh, nice. Oh, cool. the Punisher had an intern.
No, he
just
didn't
hates
have
computers.
An
he doesn't like doing spreadsheets and stuff, so he gets
an intern. Who's going to know? He's like, how many bullets am I shooting? Mm-hmm. Can I write all these guns off?
Punisher was training her how to deal with all the shit that she's been going
that's
through.
That's what an internship is.
No, that's not what an internship
is. She's that redhead. She's the redhead chick that gets charged with murder, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so the Punisher...
Crazy redheads. See, Marvel. Crazy redheads. Dead Robins and crazy redheads.
Yeah.
That's comic books in a nutshell.
Wow.
Comic books 101.
That should be on every comic book.
See?
On the cover of every
Dead
comic
Robins
book.
And crazy redheads.
Jump on board. Do you like any of these words?
Sold American. That would get kids to read this stuff.
Redheads. The Punisher defeats the Avengers, and the woman is set free, the redhead.
Yep.
And he is then locked up in an underwater prison.
Oh.
At the end.
Can he
swim?
Well,
I mean, he... Yeah, ooh. Okay.
Oh, what?
Called
I just
bone.
Like... I like the... I like
what
the
were end- you?
Below for me, it Lake ended Michigan. With the, sir, bone. Yes, sir. That was, like, the ending. That was.
How'd
like,
you feel on this about Wolverine being, like, the Punisher's assistant?
Would you stop putting weird titles on people?
No, he is.
But
he
it
is.
Was
he
not an
sergeant.
Was
yeah.
No,
they called him sergeant. It was. Yeah. There was a lot of
like,
authority
they
happening.
They have like an army moment.
Eye contact.
Yeah.
I enjoyed
he
it.
He was like
just
a corporation.
Being his bro. He was
beards.
Helping him out.
He was
a lot of
his
facial
bro?
Hair going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, he was like, yo, bro, help me out. And Wolverine's like, no problem, Punisher.
Yeah,
I
like,
got your back.
They do like a commanding officer thing. And Wolverine is just like, sure. Yes, sir.
I'm going to pick this book out.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of scowling and facial hair.
And Wolverine's like, do you want me to get you some coffee? Or like, what kind of sandwich?
No, that didn't happen.
I swear he was doing a lot of that.
Nope.
He's like, should I set up a haircut because you're looking sort of shitty at this point? Would you like a new T-shirt? The Punisher locked up in an underwater prison. What's he going to do? He's down there and he's like sad.
He's going to get out. He's going to shoot his way out. Yeah.
He's going to shoot his way out?
Yeah.
I predict swimming is involved.
No, if you get like a certain kind of bullets, you can shoot them at the ground and then it'll just
Sort of the Yosemite Sam way of escaping.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he'll give himself a shave and a chic haircut in his cell and sneak out in like shield armor.
I see a romantic
subplot like
with
that.
Like some Atlantean chick. Who's down there and helps like swim him out.
I like this.
Ooh. Namora, where's she at from Agents of Atlas? She ought to come in and have some extreme views about justice.
Yeah, she's strong. She
bust him out. Yeah. They wouldn't stand up to her.
Well, has he completed a law degree yet? He can do that in prison. Yeah. And then he'll argue his way out.
Write his memoirs.
Yeah.
War journal.
And it'll be great to have all these assistants in place so they can help him publish.
You're an asshole. Interns.
The world is run by interns. Great. This series was actually quite fantastic. If you're a fan of The Punisher and like it more when he
thinks about this actually won you
it.
Over. You weren't that big of a Punisher fan, but you love this series
this
so much.
This is a great book. I don't like The Punisher. He's like, I hate bang,
bang. What's to love? Bang, bang.
Yeah. Let's move on and talk about Avenging Spider-Man number 17. Little book.
Well, yeah,
thank
more
you.
People like this one.
Thank you. Applause.
Yeah,
this one was
applause.
Really fun.
Yeah, super fun book. Yeah. So this is...
Nope.
No,
it's not.
Cool off, Pete. This is written by Chris Yost, and it features the Doc Ock Spider-Man.
So it doesn't feature Spider-Man, is
it
my
features,
point.
It features Spider-Man is definitely in the title of the book. It's a character in the book.
Not
and
in it.
He's continuing
he self-identifies as Spider-Man.
He definitely he wears a costume that says Spider-Man. Yeah.
He can do anything a spider
Spider-Man
can.
Spider-Man on his chest.
Everyone calls him Spider-Man. Because
they don't know.
Well,
it's really fun because you get to hear his inner monologue, which is that of a horrible supervillain.
Yeah.
As it's a very, very funny book. It's
as
a very
hanging out.
Paco Medina's art
of
is also really beautiful.
All the FF kids.
There's been a thing over the years of Spider-Man babysitting the FF kids lately, especially since they have the Future Foundation. And in this, we get to see Nasty Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man, the current Spider-Man, as everyone's fucking saying.
Nope.
Because it's true.
Nope.
Is babysitting, and he's sort of a dick about it. We get
you
to see
tricked me into almost reading this book, and I didn't do it.
When do you ever actually read a book? You only know so many words.
You're an asshole.
Wow.
But
every single book Pete has read.
Death's Head and the Time Variance Authority are in this. Some great 90s stuff.
Yeah, hey. Death's Head's one of my favorites. I almost read it because of that.
Death's Head, the polite robot. It was hilarious.
Yeah. The polite robot, Death's Head, the polite robot.
The Sword miniseries from a few years ago. Did anybody read that?
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
It's true. No, Death's Head is like such a 90s, like,
I love
it's
Death's
sort of like Spawn, but he's a robot character.
And with a big dumb axe. Like, it's a big cartoon axe. It's not even a very, like, a big idiotic cable gun or anything, you know? It's like, it's a giant hatchet. It's awesome.
And he shows up and his job is usually just to lose to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, whoever,
somebody improbable, right? Some, like teenage mutant girl
to be outmatched.
His ass.
Yeah.
Will and beat Death's Head somehow.
He shows up and is like, I have to kill you because someone told me to.
Yeah.
And then they beat
him. He's a mercenary, so he could be working for anyone.
Somewhere under that armor, it's like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. You know,
no one likes me. I'm Death's Head.
crossover potential.
Oh, man. I used to love Death's Head.
What did you like about him?
Just the fact that before he turned into a
punchline.
Yeah. I just liked the fact that, you know, and I was a lot younger, so I just was like, this guy's so badass.
Because he had a
Lot of weapons. Yeah, and he was a robot, and he could just kill a lot of people. So I loved him.
Were you the kind of kid that collected sticks and treated them as different guns?
Maybe.
Cool.
Didn't everybody do that? Join a team. Like, he should be, like, he's so much fun. Like, anybody, like, if you know him, you'd like it when he pops up. So it would be fun if he, like, popped up on Thunderbolts or something like that. Like, got to be more than a punchline.
Well, I sort of like the way in Wolverine and the X-Men they use Deathlock as like, I'm an evil robot, but I also teach classes.
Yes.
What you understand in NYU, perhaps the Wagner program, has an evil robot. Who
Dragon Man was great in a similar capacity.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to this whole fake Spider-Man thing to be over with so I can read Spider-Man again.
Okay. Well,
this must be a terrible ordeal for you.
Yeah, you're one of the people that it made cry or something, right? You seem really upset.
Yeah.
Did you cry? When did you cry?
I didn't cry. I mean, I don't know how to do that. But it's just so bullshit. The fact that an evil guy has a change of heart after he sees Spider-Man's life, that he's just going to completely change who he is and then be a good guy. And all right, you know what?
Let's
you're going to
let it
on.
Go?
Let's just move on.
No, let's fill another half an hour with your absolute ravings. Okay, let's move on and talk about our last book for the evening, Avengers Arena number 5.
Yeah, more.
That's some applause.
This As the stack goes on, people are liking it more and more.
Yeah, they're really warming
they're
up.
They're drinking.
To it, like a crazy train, yeah. Everyone's just shotgunning beers in the crowd. You can't hear that, but it's happening.
More teens dying.
Yeah. Yes, so this book is sort of a Hunger Games-esque look at the Marvel Universe. We have a ton of these teen characters who have to kill each other because Arcade, the evil like video game, evil pinball machine man.
So I haven't read the whole thing. Is Arcade being put up to it by somebody else? Because he usually just does it for money.
Yeah, we don't know. So far, he's just been there, and he was a dick. And then the book has happened. Yeah.
What's the point? I mean, that's a really existential question to bring to
you
Avengers Arena. But,
I don't know the answer to
this. We've been trying
to
figure it out for a while, man.
Not necessarily even the end game, but, like, this book, it had some fun character moments, but it was a lot of talk, talk, talk.
Yes.
And, you know, not a lot of chop, chop, chop if we're about killing kids. No.
Yeah. And you're about chop, chop, chop.
We're all about killing
kids. Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
If that's what the freaking book is about, Avengers Arena, Murder World, we're going to walk around and talk about it.
And half of it was about establishing Kid Britain, who is not a character.
Yeah. Right. Like, right. Well, that's why they had to establish
him. I want to see that book. I want to read the British kids book. Hogwartsy, Down Abbey, British X-Men Academy. That looked fun. Fuck this. I want to see, like, the Britain Academy.
Well, what I like about this book is that you get a different character each issue so far, anyway, and they build these whole worlds around them, and these characters are, for the most part, like, new or their backstory.
So far, it's been a lot of, like, who's sleeping with who before Murder World.
So it's like an interior monologue for each character for each issue?
Yeah.
Each one?
Yeah.
Real Melrose Place.
And there's really not a lot of killing going on. In this murder world.
Did they really do away with metal, the big red metal guy?
It's on issue five. It's on issue five, and there are four apparently dead, maybe two, maybe not.
There are two, and then that question mark means maybe.
I hate that they killed off that kid Sentinel. That was so cute, the little kid with his big Sentinel friend. That's just mean. That's just covered mean. That's a dick move.
He's covered in a blood red question mark, so that could mean anything. We'll find out in later issues.
I hope he gets a new Sentinel, or a Death's Head.
Oh, yeah. Oh. If he was, like, hovering on a Death's Head.
They should send him to the Future Foundation and get him a Death's Head.
Yeah. That's great.
But this...
I'm getting beat a Death's Head for the next
Oh, my God. Don't you tease
my
me.
My very
like
own
that.
Death's Head.
But this was kind of a weird issue because it ended with, like, the girlfriend being like, oh, I know you had a fling. Now it's over. Come on, let's go save the day.
And like his little power, you saw his dick shrink. That like red thing went like down to three.
His life went down like three notches. Yeah.
All these power bars are just boner indicators, which is important. I draw them into all the
It's a book about teenagers. There's an adolescent mentality.
Yeah. Punisher, you don't see it, but he had an erection through this entire mini-series.
So did I.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I actually love this book. I feel like it's sort of a...
You're the only one who loves this book.
A goofy premise where it's like Hunger Games, the Marvel Universe. But I think the characters are really interesting, and they are taking time to really develop them. It's not just murder, murder, murder.
Is there a set of boyfriends
murder,
in there?
Murder, murder, murder.
Is there a set of boyfriends, or was that just some like little derogatory remark somebody made?
No, there is. Kid Britain is dating.
No, he said some guy was talking about some other like guy's little boyfriends. Where they were like the primitive character and the little blonde kid are walking around together a lot. It seemed like he hinted that there was like a little gay romance between two of them, and I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know if that's true either.
Let's start a rumor.
Yeah, rumor has it. I think those are Chase. You mean Chase the blonde guy?
No, he was talking
about Bloodstone. I do think that is in here, and I don't know enough about those characters from their other Marvel appearances, if there are any. Yeah, these are new characters.
Bloodstone, he's the kid who's wearing the Punisher shirt.
Yes.
Okay.
And he is heir to the Bloodstone family.
Walking around with a guy that turns into like a caveman or something, right? Anachronism or whatever.
This is a real anachronism. Yeah, new character as well. So we don't know much about them yet.
All right.
But keep reading.
Hey,
I guess.
Cool.
And keep your boners high. That's enough for the stack.
Wow.
Thank you guys.
That's a hell of a line to finish on.
That's a classic tagline. Let's move on to our favorite section because you guys make it up. It's our audience questions, and we're going to turn it over to Mr. Boothman.
Boothman!
Yo.
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 What up, everybody?
What you got, Boothman?
First off, I would just like to say that for each question we pick, we have an amazing prize to give, other than the comics that we give out, which is pretty cool. But we have amazing art to be giving out.
Yeah.
Each
original art.
Original art done by you.
Yes.
And featured, printed by modhero.com.
Yeah, my artwork is at a site called modhero.com. And I do, like, pop art superhero prints.
Amazing stuff.
Thank you.
These it's really, really great. Really,
please check them out. There's especially a Wonder Woman one in here that's pretty awesome. So what do you got, Boothman?
So my mic is being... Oh, is this mic being stupid, too?
Oh, great.
Oh, good.
So just yell really loud.
Check. You're stupid, Mike.
Or do you want to use my mic? Yeah.
No, I'll struggle
I'll use
through
his working mic.
No, I have to be, like, really loud for some reason, because if I get quiet, it cuts in and out.
Oh, wow.
Okay, great.
So I'll just yell a lot. Okay.
Great.
So
just what we want.
You know, just pretend all these questions are really angry. If Chris Nolan produces the JLA film, what's your dream cast?
What's your dream cast?
Specifically, I mean the video game system.
Yeah, what's your Sega Dreamcast?
Sega Dreamcast.
nice, I would go with the original Sega Dreamcast. What's your dreamcast for the Christopher Nolan, the potential? There's a rumor today that Christopher Nolan will be making the new Justice League movies, potentially bringing back Christian Bale. And the Superman guy. What do you guys think?
Like, would they put Henry Cavill in there too? Like, if he's, I mean, if
I think that's guy, the, I mean, that's the rumor plan, which is probably
Henry
not.
Cavill is like potato chips on a sandwich. They should put him in anything.
That means good, right?
Yeah.
Does that
potato
mean, do you
chips
mean good,
on a sandwich.
Or does that mean
you see our eyes are rolling back into
necessary.
Our heads?
Yeah. Yeah.
So potato chips on a sandwich is great.
I like to have potato chips separate from my sandwich.
What?
Maybe I'm not
what
a fan
are you, some
of
kind
of
asshole?
What's the rush?
Different,
I have
different
time
strokes.
To eat my lunch. I don't need to eat the chips on the sandwich.
Kill Justice. Kill Justice. Kill Justice.
It's all going to the same place? That's no way to treat your meal.
But I think we can all agree that Henry Cavill is dreamy.
And needs to be on the sandwich.
That's really the point.
And he looks so Superman.
He looks fantastic.
Yeah, so, fantastic man. So you're yes on that. Let me just check in. Dreamy Dreamcast check on Henry Cavill.
Sure, sure.
I think, though, Christian Bale as Batman in, like, a fun Justice League movie is not a great idea.
Should be the who's the kid that was
JGL?
Yeah.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You
Robin.
Guys all know that shorthand, JGL?
JGL.
Cool.
I'd
cool
watch that.
Right?
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
JGL, JLA.
I don't know. I guess the big question would be, who would be Wonder Woman?
Oh, that's the one that stumped Hollywood for decades.
Yeah.
Fucking
Wonder
Catwoman
Woman
has had
right
a terrible movie before Wonder Woman has even had a half a decent movie.
Yeah.
And there's a great Wonder Woman script out there written by Joss Whedon.
Hey.
Who would be Wonder Woman? Mm-hmm.
The girl that played Sif is fun. I don't remember her name. I think it's Jamie something something.
Yeah.
There's a girl on... Once Upon a Time.
Oh, right. Yep.
She's got real dark hair and real bright dark eyes. And Tumblr thinks that she would be great as Jessica Drew's Spider-Woman, but she also might be a good Wonder Woman. I don't know these girls' names.
Is she play the
Ruby?
Evil Witch?
She plays the girl Ruby?
Oh, I don't watch that show, actually. I think about
so
it.
So why are you even starting
especially
this show?
Not in public do I say that I watch
but no, she's not the witch, and she's not the girl from Big Love. God, terrible with names.
Sigourney Weaver? Is Wonder Woman? Is that possible? Too old?
Sigourney Weaver would be like Hippolyta. Yeah. Sigourney Weaver would put the crown.
Awesome.
See?
Yeah.
Somebody out there heard that.
From the audience. what about Aquaman?
Justin Tyler.
Thank you. Adrian
what about Paul Walker from like the early
Batman?
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one, yeah. Grows his hair, that'd be great. Mm-hmm.
That's very nice.
That's
very nice.
And Halle Berry would have made such a better Vixen than she ever tried to be than she made as Storm.
Yep.
I mean, she just would. Maybe it's because I don't care that much about Vixen, but she would have made a much better Vixen.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's like, JLA movie, who's going to be Vixen?
I'm trying to give it another girl. I mean, you can't just be like Wonder Woman and like six dudes. That looks like a porn.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the way Christopher Nolan will take it. Just a third act of a hardcore sex.
As long as Hawkman keeps his wings on. Whatever. Whatever, man.
Hawkman, leave the wings on. Just,
that's all. Don't talk.
Well, then you find out what the real use of the nth metal is.
Yeah.
It's a very big orgy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
Swing that mace.
Exactly. great. Who asked that question? We sort of answered it in a sexy way.
Yeah, right.
But we have some free comics for you.
We do everything in sort of a sexy way. You invited us over here.
That's
this
our business.
Show is blue, kids.
Yeah, this show is blue, and it's only going to get bluer. Boothman, do you have a question for us?
Can we continue the sexy theme?
Yeah, sure. Can we stop it?
Can we stop it? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's a real question.
What currently is your least favorite new 52 book?
What's your least favorite new 52 book? Tough question to answer.
Yeah.
There are so many. Oh, you're holding the mic away because you don't know. Yeah, you only read Marvel.
I'm shied away from the new 52, more or less.
Teen Titans.
Good answer.
Yep, Justice League, also not a
Earth
great
Earth 2
book.
Really turned me off fast.
Speaking to Geeks Out in general, there was such a press thing with Alan Scott being gay, and it was such like a weird...
It was the lamest,
it seemed like
dumbest...
a really boring gay story.
Yeah, certainly.
It didn't...
Does anyone remember the guy's first name? His dead fiance? Okay. Did he have a last name?
All right. Oh, we have a huge Sam fan base,
I guess.
Here.
You know, there's the, you know, it just seemed really tacky and boring. Yeah, you're right. Boring.
Vanilla. It was very boring.
It was like the boringest game.
And do you
story.
Think press grabby, or do you think he was, because have you read any of the interviews with him where he's just like, it was just a choice, but it was in the news recently.
Yeah. DC has been a little bit ham-handed. I think in the way that they have tried to reach out to maybe their quote unquote perceived as fringe audiences or fan groups, notably women and not straight white adolescent boys. Yeah. And so when they do that, it's like they're wearing boxing gloves and it's, oh, I'm sorry, every single time. You know, they're never actually wiping something off your face that you need wiped off. They're always punching you. And I wish that they would get better at that.
Very interesting metaphor to describe that. I'm sure that's the way they talked about it in the marketing.
You know?
And so do you think Marvel's done a better job?
Yeah.
What do you think about Batwoman? As her...
I'm
her
pro character. Batwoman.
Yep. Batwoman's been amazing.
Batwoman is a hit.
I thought they've developed her as a character, both in her being a lesbian and not, and just her as a character. I thought they did a good job with that, which I was sort of surprised about.
I feel like Batwoman is an example of a book that had a clear artistic vision for a story and art and everything and a character, and the character happened to be a lesbian, and everyone wins,
right?
Yeah, because it's a good comic,
and that happened before the New 52, so that wasn't big new something that they discovered with the New 52. That was lucky to have carried over.
It
survived the New 52. It wasn't
just
like
barely.
It's not a crowning success of the New 52. Yeah. That was, you know, it's the survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But it is an amazing comic.
It is very good, yeah. Sad to see J.H. Williams leaving the book, actually, after this last issue.
That's going to be
awful. But anyway, so we're talking about shitty DC titles, I think.
I think that was pretty good.
What's that?
Captain Adam.
My problem is I'm not even reading so many of them anymore because they have been sort of a letdown. But maybe the better question is, why are they such a letdown? Is it just bad writing, bad teams?
Too many.
Too many?
Yeah.
You think it really is too many books? They can't handle it?
I thought so. I'm reading so many, 52 books on a good
Really? It's like every week or something.
Yeah. Great use of that number, knowing what it means. But even like Geoff Johns, I feel like Justice League isn't hitting the mark it should be.
Yeah.
So, and he's like, he has a great bench.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Aquaman, all those books.
DC has always seemed a lot more scattered to me, and maybe that speaks to the too many books, too many ideas, too many generations of characters to keep straight and retcon and eliminate, too many final crises and then like supremely ultimate final crisis, and no, really, we mean it, this is the last one. How can we miss you if you don't go away? Celine Dion, glory to her final crisis.
Celine Dion was a good get for them to put.
She was. She would be terrible as Wonder Woman. Yeah. Wipe that idea out of your mind.
Nope, you
she would
said
be the
it.
Worst. The worst.
It's
She's a big star. She'd pack the houses.
She actually owns an invisible jet, though. So you can buy that.
I definitely agree with your point. Like maybe if they would have tried less. And put more effort into it, it might have
like
been more.
The grand relaunch, two books, the new two, and then they
would
have really focused on
you had Sean Howe on this show?
Yes.
The guy that wrote Marvel the Untold Story, right?
Did
you be talking to him?
I wasn't here for that one.
I was listening to your last show when you were talking about the Sean Howe guy.
We were talking about the book,
The book. I read the book, and it was really interesting, and I thought maybe the fact that and part of the weakness for Marvel, you might say, is that it comes from such a teeny tiny core group of crazy people who existed on the one floor of that office building.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was told. But that could also be
the same strength. You know, they didn't have generation after generation of this is the new Black Canary from the 70s, who's actually the daughter of the girl that you used to read about in the old book, and, you know, Golden Age, Silver Age, Earth A, Earth B, to Gamma.
Well, but DC discovered that there's one thing that kids love is genealogy. And, like, really tracking generations of heroes and, like, oh, who's his mother or grandmother? Oh, I'm so excited. Great. Who asked that question? You get some free comics for you and a poster. And let's get the next one.
Who would win in a fight, Batman or John Constantine, and why and how?
Who would win a fight, Batman versus John Constantine, why and how?
How far apart are they standing?
It's a great question. Does it have any information in the question about how far apart they're standing?
No, but obviously I'd say 20 feet.
John Constantine.
Obviously.
John Constantine could just be like...
Well, is he in Batarang range or out of Batarang range is the real question.
I'm going to say
Batman. John Constantine could still cast a spell even after getting hit by a Batarang.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that wouldn't take him out of the game.
Unless he's unconscious.
And let's just be clear. It's magic versus, like, a sharp boomerang.
Yeah.
So I think we should lean toward magic, right? Like a sharpened boomerang is sort of his whole thing.
But in the shape of a bat. I don't know if it helps against the magic.
The branding is great.
Yeah.
He really branded.
He really thought it all out.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
And,
what's Constantine?
It's hard to out-detect himself from a magic spell.
True. Right. If he got the drop on Constantine.
Yeah, I mean, Constantine's not really a hand-to-hand
fighter.
Yeah,
if Batman waited until he was at the pub later, he could win.
6 feet apart, then Batman.
Yeah.
Right. clearly
okay,
said 20 feet.
With distance, Constantine.
That's the dueling distance in, like, made-up hypothetical DC duel. Yeah. It's 20 feet.
DC duel!
Take your marks!
Book number 49 in the new 52. DC, next on DC Nation.
Oh, my God.
But, like, how many Robins would die? Like, six or seven? It's the real question.
Aww.
Sad. Who did you vote for?
Batman.
Why?
Because I think he's smarter than Constantine.
You think he's smarter? Oh, gasp from the audience. Well, he sort of, I guess, would be smarter.
Yeah.
What if it was a drinking contest?
Constantine would win.
So he'd solve a math problem to him to death?
Yeah. Well,
does Batman even know who Constantine is? Like, would he just be like, oh, it's a guy in a coat. I'm not going to, like, bring my A-game.
Until he combusts in Hellfire.
Like, oh, it's Batman. I need to do this spell.
He would be
obviously
like,
Batman.
Smoking will eventually kill him. Victory.
Now he's Dr. Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Batman. So, great. Great question. Who raised your hand if you asked it? We have some comments for
man.
You. And a poster. Boothman, what you got coming?
Dr. Batman.
Yeah.
What book do you feel most embarrassed telling the public that you love?
Oh, okay. Oh. That you love. So truly love.
Probably for you it's Avengers Arena.
No, I just talked about it for a good long time.
Okay. You should be embarrassed.
Okay. Yeah, Pete, tell me what I should be embarrassed. And I'll do the same for you.
Yeah, all right.
Pete, do you have an answer?
Nope, come back to me.
Okay, cool.
I've been enjoying Extreme X-Men. Which is it's real dumb, but it's really it reached a critical level of fun mass, like, and now it's just fun and stupid. And also it has Wolverine from another dimension making out with Hercules from another dimension.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's a crazy book.
Yeah.
Just, it's fun. Not even that, but, like, the way the characters are, they're like no one we really know.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter
at all,
right?
Yeah. So it's real dumb, but it's fun, and it's become a guilty pleasure for me. So.
Nice. You, sir?
Well, I'm not going to pick a current book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that I'm really, I guess, kind of embarrassed to love the classic cheeseball John Byrne era of West Coast Avengers.
Oh.
Just because it was such a, like, saltine cracker square jaw superhero book. There was nothing, like, dark or ambiguous about it. You know, it was superheroes in LA and
can you imagine superheroes in Los Angeles?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was
crazy.
And then, you know,
there are no crimes out there, even so relaxed.
But especially when John Byrne came back really later in the run and, like, Vision went crazy and it was in all that white and Wanda was kind of nuts and they, you know, Mockingbird came back and was all nutty, whom we now know was a Skrull. And so if you look back at all that, I enjoy that stuff, but it's not highbrow reading.
That's cool. And the produce is so fresh. It's like different produce.
The weather. You'll love the weather. It's never fall.
Can you imagine how everyone hates fall?
Oh, man. It's weird out there. It's the same every day. It freaks you out.
Yeah. I know. Pete, what's your answer?
It's hard because I don't really... I mean, I'm not really ashamed of any of this stuff.
Yeah, you have no shame.
Yeah, I don't.
You're shameless.
I read what I read, and if you don't like it, fuck you.
Wow. That's integrity, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
I mean, I used to love all the Spawn stuff, but you know, back in the day, and like people used to make fun of that because like Spawn's the same all the time. Like, so what?
Did you read X-Men 2099?
I love that book.
Oh, man, you should be ashamed.
Yeah. I did love that. You they invented a whole new X-Men team that no one has ever paid any attention to.
A girl whose
to.
Power was crystal.
Yeah. That was cool. And then it got fucked up. It got real fucked up after a while.
Oh, then it got fucked up.
You could just say the entire 2099 line. Uh-huh. Really. But Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah, that was awesome. Rick Lenardi.
Rick, beautiful. So good.
Was that the one we saw Spider-Man's junk?
No. That was...
What was that?
What was that called?
Spider-Man Rain. Right?
Yep. We saw a very tiny spider.
Spider-Man bones. Making it rain. Hey!
I know. But let's just say his power bar was very low. If you guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
He's just a kid, man. He's just a kid.
No, in this book, he was very old. Yeah, it was like Spider-Man in the future.
That's even kind of worse.
Yeah, it's much worse. And he did a lot of, like, look at what I've had to deal with my whole life.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, I don't think that happened.
Pete, you should be ashamed of yourself. Oh, really, the lesson here is you should just be ashamed of everything you read.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Sure.
Oh, don't agree to that. You just had a power moment a second ago.
It's funny how fast
now he's
going to
cry.
I know.
No, I don't know how to cry. Don't know how to cry.
Who asked that question? We have some comics for you and a poster. And we have one more question. Speed around it.
So who submitted pitches to Rob Liefeld this week?
Wait, what was that?
Who submitted pitches to Rob Liefeld this week?
Oh, right. For those of you that don't know, Rob Liefeld was accepting pitches for, it was a new character, right, that he was going to work on?
Yeah.
Like via Twitter.
God.
Why?
It sounded awesome.
Well, he wants to be relevant.
Or maybe he's just out of ideas.
Yeah.
You know, people hate on the guy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No, he's just, I think he wanted to, like, get people interested in his work. I don't think he's doing anything right now because he left all of his DC books in a big
So you pitch him a character via Twitter, and if he picks it, he'll develop it?
I think you have to pitch him a whole, like, more of a
story. It's a
story,
yeah.
Like, he's opening, like, he wants writers to pitch him stories to draw. Like, you know, young aspiring writers who want to have something drawn by Rob Liefeld, which, like, you could do a lot worse in terms of, like, getting
the
book out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of pretty awesome. Cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
It's great, you know?
It is, I actually think, Rob...
If you want your character to have giant, weird spider hands, like distended feet...
No feet. No feet at all.
Usually
triangle feet.
And maybe, like, high belted pants.
Yeah.
Pouches.
And this is for you.
Guns. And goggles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like a character with lots of knives on his outfit.
Pockets on all sorts of parts.
I think that's the very organized character. Like, he has all room for, like...
Some OCD character that has a purpose for every single pocket.
But you never see them use any of that shit. They've got 1,000 pockets, and they will still die of starvation in a fucking
desert.
Let
their OCD rest by making sure they have everything.
Yeah,
they
touch every button on the little pouch. No, that's really called character development, because years later, in issue 150, you're like, oh, that's what was in that pouch. It was a tiny mouse.
I got you.
The whole time. It was a cute little mouse.
Oh, I love the idea of Cable having, like, a little mouse.
A little mouse friend?
Yeah, his pockets are full of, like, pets.
Sorry, Belshazzar. Are you all right?
He's collecting, and is traveling through time and space. He's been collecting pets.
Yeah,
he's got the two rescuers in there, Bianca and Mr. Bernard. Yeah. They rescued Hope. It wasn't Cable at all.
Awesome. Oh, wow. That's a dream. Someone draw that real quick. After every mission, he released a little baby bird he had in his pocket. He's like, be free!
But if it didn't come off, he would crush it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why is Cable taking all this the cheese from the kitchen?
Who is he keeping
cheese?
What are you doing with all those raisins?
It sounds like Joshua Gabor in here.
Great. I believe that's it for our audience questions. And let's move on to our next section, which we call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
We're going to hit a couple of geek culture topics.
Some topics happening this week.
First one just happened a couple hours before we started the show. Chris
Breaking
Sprouse,
news.
Breaking news. Chris Sprouse, the artist on the upcoming Adventures of Superman book that has been a bit controversial because Orson Scott Card has been is writing it and everyone dislikes him because because of his strong, very aggressively strong anti-gay stance. And Chris Sprouse, the artist, said, I'm not going to work on the book. It's become too much of a thing, and it's impacting my work. Yeah. What do you guys think about that? It's especially aft topic with you guys.
It sucks. I mean, I feel bad for him, you know, but hopefully they'll continue to support him and give him a good another gig real soon.
He seemed pretty, like, not, like, too sad about it. He seemed very much like, I need to do this. I want to do this.
I think it's the right call. I'm proud that
it wasn't
going to
go well for him because, I mean, like, the book is going to receive a lot of negative attention when it's out. Mm-hmm. And as sort of, I would guess, maybe the term is an innocent party in that, you know, he's got no horse in that race, as it were.
Right.
You know, his art didn't deserve to have that kind of, shall I say, taint applied to it.
great stuff.
So I think that, you know, it's not surprising that he would want to distance himself from something that's going to be that much of a lightning rod and that
radioactive.
Yeah.
And he must be so bummed. Like, imagine, like, that's got to be a dream gig for him. And then as soon as that, I wonder, I mean, obviously we don't know how it happened, but it sucks to lose that.
Yeah, we don't know what he knew ahead of time. If they were just like, hey, we're going to have this high-profile writer working with you on this great book, it'll, you know. Great. It sounds great on paper, but maybe he didn't even know, or you know, who knows his side.
And because of the artist leaving, the Orson Scott Card story has been pushed from the first issue, and they haven't released when it will be solicited. What do you think? Will DC just like sort of bury it and forget about it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That would be the smartest.
It seems like they have kind of a green light to do that now. If the artist isn't there, they can be like, well, you know, maybe later, without losing too much face. I don't know.
I mean, it's funny. Like, they purposefully avoided commenting on this without even really registering the fact that there was a petition going around and a lot of protests.
They replied. They replied officially.
Right, but they said, like, they wouldn't. They weren't going to make any changes or acknowledge the sort of validity of that. So for them to just sort of bail on it seems like their way out, sort of the corporate way out.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't. They don't necessarily have to take a position on Card's actions and affiliations because it's. They're his as a person, you know, he's got every right to do that. And they've got every right as an employer to make their choice. And so I think they're seeing now how the marketplace is responding and they can rethink their choice.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly American and capitalism at work.
Perfectly American.
Perfectly American.
You know, nobody's freedom of speech has been impaired in the least.
Yeah. So it's a good sort of ending, I guess. As happy an ending as you
can. Well, I mean, nobody wants to take work away from, like, the artists or the inkers or the people that were going to, you know, have a good gig.
Right.
I don't think that this man should write a Superman story. I would throw potatoes at him if I saw him. You know, like, if that's a prime personal
thing. It's amazing you have this bag of potatoes with you.
I am ready.
Yeah.
But sort of officially, you know, his...
He loves potatoes, though. He mashes them and eats them.
That's why he carries that big lacrosse mat.
Yeah,
that's true. But it would...
It's all an elaborate potato scam with Orson Scott Card.
But I don't think anybody wants, or, you know, nobody wants this controversy.
Yeah.
And collateral damage is unfortunate in terms of impact on somebody else's career, and that's no one's intent, whether you're asking for Card to be fired off the book, whether you're asking for DC to say, that wasn't really a smart move of us to hire someone who is so famously an evil homophobe.
Yeah.
And then, you know, slightly, you know, shamefacedly moonwalk out of the room and just sort of let it drop, then...
DC moonwalks out of a lot of rooms.
You know, it's a way to avoid an embarrassing goodbye. If you can't think of how...
Because it's distracting and you forget about what's happening, then it's like, oh,
hey, that
not.
Guy just moonwalked out of here. What were we talking about?
What were we talking about?
Moonwalk, great dance is the upshot.
It's a healing dance.
Yeah, it's a healing dance, definitely. Any hate speech is immediately erased by a sweet moonwalk. But you got to really do it. You can't fake it.
Oh, no, you can't.
It's like aloe for your soul.
Yeah. Let's move on and talk about the most recent episode of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead having a great season. I know you guys aren't...
I love Michonne. I love Michonne.
Yeah!
Danai Gurira is beautiful and amazing.
This most recent episode was very Michonne heavy and great, I think.
About time.
It's coming around. In this episode, for those of you that haven't watched it, we won't spoil it too bad.
they're dead people. They're all dead.
Those people are dead. Don't worry, they're mostly dead who are dying. Rick, Carl, and Michonne go on a little driving adventure.
Just a road trip.
In their what is it, a Prius they drive around sort of awkwardly?
No, it's kind of a...
Of all the cars they could choose, they drew the little bean car of a Prius. It's like seashell colored.
Yeah, that's like two zombies would be able to turn it over, you know?
So they're safe the in the car.
Because it's every time I see it, I'm like, wow, they made a lot of money when this car company sponsored this car. But if I was in the zombie world, I'd drive a fucking truck. So you could run into things.
Because it gets stuck
in
the mud.
Take knives around the Prius or something. Yeah.
That's a very short-sighted attitude. We're still on this planet, okay?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Great point. Well,
I know. Zombie apocalypse. You can still take care of the Earth.
Priorities.
What should we drive? What's the MPG of this one? Well, I mean, we're
talking... Don't just throw that garbage.
It's coming, come on!
Someday the recyclers will come back.
Yeah, exactly. And it must be hell...
Well, speaking of recycling,
it must be hell trying to find one of those electric plug-ins for the car. Yeah. They're hard enough to find in Los Angeles as it is. Anyway, the issue, or the episode, what are we talking about?
Walking Dead.
So the episode, they go on an adventure, they go back to the Rick's hometown, Rick and Carl's hometown, to get a bunch of guns. Because apparently that's the closest guns they could find, which is a very long drive away.
Well, it makes me think that they haven't gone very far.
Because
it was a short drive.
Yeah. Well, we don't really know how long it was. They could have been in that car for like 3 days.
Sure.
Just like
the subtitle of this show is Georgia Sucks.
Yeah.
Because it was like they've just been banging around rural Georgia full of dead people. It's only isolated to Georgia. The rest of the country's fine.
Fine. Yeah. Just got the fuck out of Georgia. But actually, Georgia is having a huge zombie outbreak. Yeah. It's sort of fun. Maybe an homage to the show, perhaps. I don't know. But yeah, so they go, they meet up with an old friend. Who's gone crazy.
Yep. Which is probably typical for...
Michonne and Carl go on a little Carl adventure where they almost die for a picture frame.
Yep.
With a picture in it. And then the whole thing is resolved nice. It's very much a bottle episode, no governor shit.
Yeah.
Pete, did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was a great episode. You know, just because before Michonne has just kind of been a badass... She really hasn't said a lot, so it was nice to see.
But now she's a badass with a heart of gold.
Yeah, it's nice to see a little bit of the softer side and
of
like
Sears.
what? That was weird.
Anybody softer side of Sears?
Set him right up. He set him right up for it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, one guy loves it.
Bart Sears in the back. Anybody?
Yeah,
remember Valiant.
I thought this was a cool kind of like. If you were just one man, like, yeah, why not set up a bunch
of... Pete, you are one man.
No, but I mean, like, if you're one man stuck, you know, like, why not set up these traps and elaborate things so that, like, it would just make it so much easier instead of just... Like, Rick, none of these guys do this fucking shit, and it drives me nuts. Like, if you're going to occupy a place, let's spend some time making it really hard for fucking zombies to get in.
Like, make some weird booby traps.
Yes.
Hang up a sheet that says, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and then if you don't listen to the sheet, the axe gets you in the face.
Yeah. Always listen to sheets.
Yeah.
Is what I
you guys take anything away.
I would be so awesome in this because I always listen to sheets.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be clean and well dressed in this zombie apocalypse. I would have
Man,
air conditioning.
He died instantly.
I read sheets from the day one, and that has guided me to this safe bunker full of Subway sandwiches.
Jono died instantly, but he looked fucking great. Yeah.
The sheet said die. Yeah. And he read it.
Eat me.
But yeah, it was great to see the guy from the first episode. I thought that was such a cool thing when they pulled off the helmet, and I was like, holy shit. I thought it was really well done, even though he'd kind of gone crazy. It was nice that he was just cleaning it out, man, like clearing it up. And I thought that was I really liked this episode. Even though it wasn't, like, really moving things forward, I thought it was a cool kind of, like, little timeout from stuff. And felt like it took care of a lot of things it needed to take care of.
Yeah, and now everyone's friends.
Yeah.
Yay. One last thing. A new Iron Man trailer came out for Iron Man 3, which was awesome. Did you guys get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I did.
Toys.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Some things to of note. Iron Man has like 100 suits of armor that show up.
Yeah. He's got an army with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's great. That's like the geek, the strong geek
total
moment.
Like boys and toys moment. Yeah, exactly. I want all of them.
Oh, my God. Yeah, especially when the guy runs through the wall. I was like, I want that one.
Yeah.
Choose which one you want. I want the one with roller skates. Impossible. It's a great moment. And then I think Robert Downey Jr. says, oh, there's my boys. Yeah. Like, it's such a cool, it's such a cool moment.
And it's unclear whether or not they have people in them or if they're automated.
Right.
Like, there was a quick shot of, like,
people getting suited up.
But it was... It's unclear who's really in charge. It seems like a lot of chaos going down in the, you know, whatever's happening. So,
I was reading something online from one of the Marvel guys working on the movie, and they said that Iron Man 3 sort of has a political thriller undertone. And I feel like in this trailer, we sort of saw that. We hear the president of Iron Man World talking about that. And, like, the Mandarin must be stopped. It's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys like political thrillers?
I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
I think that to pull from the sort of from other genres, the way that, like, you know, Iron Man, when it's a great comic, it's sort of like a James Bondy kind of comic. You know, he's a little bit of a playboy, and he's got the gadgetry and the girls and the booze and his attitude and stuff. And it's... So I think that they're right to borrow, whether or not it's exactly from a sort of James Bond kind of film situation or more of a, like...
We can just hope that Adele will do the theme song.
Yeah.
If possible. Yeah.
But as a, like a weapons dealer and a super billionaire who makes, you know, weapons for the military, it seems like they're, you know, he's answering for higher social responsibility and, you know, and they're... It looks like they're touching on that in this a little bit more than they did in the last one.
It seems like it because we have Iron Patriot in this.
Yeah.
War Machine potentially becoming Iron Patriot because Tony Stark is like, I'm not going to make weapons for the old U.S. government.
Yeah.
So, I think that there's a lot of that stuff in this trailer. Already this looks... I don't remember seeing the Iron Man 2 trailer for the first time, but I feel like this movie is going to be way better than that. And I liked Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 was amazing, yeah.
It had cool stuff.
The suitcase armor, the briefcase armor.
Yeah, it was stuff. But like, plot-wise, it wasn't really...
Yeah.
It wasn't anything that interesting. It was just cool.
Yeah.
But this looks like it will have a lot of interesting stuff.
There's no Mickey Rourke, though.
Yeah. Gonna make you...
There's no Mickey Rourke, though.
Yeah, true. I mean, he might show up. You never know. He probably snuck on set. And
that
like,
old Mickey.
Hey. Remember me? Remember me, your old pal? And that's it for the Week in Geek. Now we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage for some trivia.
All right. Guys, this is where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. In the form, thank you, $25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Because we know you'd spend the money on comics anyway. Who would like $25? Simply raise your hand. A simple raising of the hand. Well, yes, you. Come on up.
Yeah.
Come on up, please. Can I borrow your mic? What is your name?
Noel.
Noel, nice to meet you. Noel, audience, Noel.
Yeah.
All right, Noel, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three right. And I've been drinking. And you win $25. All right?
All right, let's go.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I like that attitude. All right. Okay, so this trivia is on This Week in Comics. So all this came out this week. Thank you, Boothman. All right. Here we go. In Thunderbolts number 5, who at the end of the comic is making out with the Punisher? Is it A, Elektra, B, Deadpool, or C, Cindy Crawford?
Ooh.
So it's either A, Elektra, or it's B, Deadpool.
Well, unfortunately, it wasn't me, so I'm
going to
say that would be A, Elektra.
Wow. A, Elektra, yeah, Punisher fan.
You're real.
Good answer.
I would say second biggest.
His, right.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
His relationships do not end well, so beware.
All right, cool. Question number 2. In the penultimate issue of Hackslash, Sniff, oh, it's amazing, I gotta watch that. Who is in trouble in the last panel? I say trouble because I don't want to spoil anything. Is it A, Cassie, B, Vlad, or C, Punky Brewster? So it's either A, Cassie, don't pick A, or it's B, Vlad. Yes,
nice.
Vlad is correct. In Talon number 5, which Justin dropped and it's bullshit, who finally noticed Talon's actions? Is it A, Batman, B, Robin, or C, Ronald Reagan? So it's either A, Batman, which is probably the correct answer, or it's C, Robin. Yeah! Nice. Congratulations. You've won $25 free. I completely forgot to bring the gift card up with me, but it's in my bag there. So see me after the show.
Nice.
You like how I did that? It was smooth,
nice.
Right?
Great.
See me after the show. I'm a dick.
Great. That's the lesson to take away from trivia. And let's move on to what we're looking forward to tomorrow. Tomorrow's new comic book day. For that, we recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they have been nice enough to sponsor this show.
And just to put it out there, it's not because Midtown just sponsors the show. It's a great comic book shop.
It's a great comic book shop.
That's one of the reasons we're always plugging
it. Talking it up. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to all new X-Men number 8. I think this has been an amazing series. Yeah, one person agrees. Yep. Yep. I really look forward to what they're doing with it, where it's going to go, and I can't wait.
Nice. I'm looking forward to Hellboy in Hell number 4.
Yeah!
So good.
You took the good one.
Nice. If you guys have been Hellboy fans at any point, this feels like it's just so much fun. It's much more fun than some of the earlier books, which seemed a little cold. This is clearly Mike Mignola just like having a blast.
Yeah, back
and
again.
The art is he's back. The art's amazing. It's great.
It's the story he's been wanting to tell for 10
years.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, and I love it. He talks about every time he talks about the book, he talks about how he's expanding it. It's like getting longer and bigger and like weird adventures, and you can definitely feel that right in there. It's great.
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited about it too. So I will then pick A plus X number 5 because there's a dupe story.
Yay!
So I think it's Dupe and Iron Fist together.
Yeah. Nice.
Which, the team I mean, it's a win-win.
Dupe has been coming back. What was he in the X-Men and Wolverine?
Yeah,
he had
a
great. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, that standalone was fantastic.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah.
That was Mike Allred, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'll read anything with Dupe.
Anything with Dupe. Mm. Have you translated his language? Can you speak it?
I actually don't speak Dupe.
Oh.
But I
he speaks the language of love. They don't talk.
We have an understanding. So
I
get what he's talking about.
Yeah, cool. Well, I know. It's great that he showed up to the show to support you.
Oh, I know, man.
Just hovering in the back.
What's up, Dupe?
You assholes have taken all mine. So I will say, maybe I'm not looking forward to it, but this is a ritual that every month I look at the world's finest to see whether Power Girl has ditched her shitty new costume for the boob window. I'm pro boob window, and I keep seeing in solicitations there's a cover with her coming up looking really pissed, and she's in her classic costume. And so whether it's a dream or a flashback or something, and there's a glimpse of the boob window once again. So I pick it up, I look at it, I don't buy it because it's usually not there, and I put it back.
Well, maybe she'll add a boob window to the new costume.
See?
You think? Because I imagine she's like, oh, I just need to...
Gotta air this out a little
bit. When we were discussing it originally, because I hated this costume, I love the boob window, even from a feminist point of view. And he predicted from the get-go that in her bodysuit, what did you say?
Yeah,
right away.
Sooner or later, someone's going to laser blast her chest, and she's going to have a big hole there.
Yeah.
And she did it first fucking issue.
Yeah, and it happened, and it felt so gross. It was just such a...
It was the first thing that happened to her. She walked in and was like, how do you like my new costume? And someone went, zap, right there.
Yeah, it felt really juvenile and gross. And I felt bad for having predicted it.
Yeah.
But she's still covered up now.
Yeah, well, 30 years.
She needs to own that boob window.
It just looks stupid. It's a white bodysuit with a bunch of red fucking lines on it, bracelets and boobs. It looks like an old, Legion costume. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. In 30 years, she's just going to be known as Boob Window Girl. And
you know?
She's not going to do much.
She could be known as worse. People will still be talking about her.
Yeah, no, it's true. What a great legacy.
Immortality.
Yeah. Great. fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the show. A couple people we want to thank. Boothman!
Yeah!
You gentlemen from Geeks Out, everybody put your hands together for Josh and Jono.
Thank you very much.
Please check out geeksout.org.
You want to plug anything while we have a second?
Yeah, geeksout.org is our website, and you'll see what we're up to. And our big show coming up is dreamweavernyc.com. So check that out.
That's right. All of our events are listed on geeksout.org. You can find us on Facebook where we post all that stuff as well. Follow us on Twitter. And... we had a great time. Thank you very, very much.
Awesome. It was a pleasure having you. Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Check us out on Facebook, where you can find out all of our lovely guests.
Yeah,
Dude, oh, did I take your line?
You just fucking took my shit.
That's okay. Come up with a new one real quick.
Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw. And thank you to all our interns who do amazing work.
Oh, great. We're sharing this departure.
Yeah.
Thanks to Midtown Comics. And, of course, thanks to you guys, our lovely audience. Please come on down here to Fontana's NYC here in New York. See the show live. Download the podcast. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Thank you.